Colossians chapter number chapter number two, verse number one. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, Paul writing here, what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now what was this conflict? That their hearts should be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. The acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And when it comes to prayer tonight, I want to use this as a springboard to pick up where we were last Wednesday night and to go further on this subject. And we said to you last Wednesday night that the subject of prayer is not just about us, you know, praying for our needs. That, now, don't ever feel condemned by praying about your own needs. Don't ever, because, I mean, you know, people kind of get the idea, well, we shouldn't be just thinking about ourselves. And that's right, we shouldn't be just thinking about ourselves. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us just like he loves everybody else. He loves me. We got to believe that. Bible says we have known and believed the love that God has for us. It's easy to believe God loves somebody else. You know what I'm talking about? You know, babies, because they have no past. You know what I'm talking about? But we forget, when we were born again, we got no... our past was washed away. Amen. Hallelujah. People, they can really, you know, see a baby that's sick and some baby that's physically attacked or something. They're ready to pray. They believe that child can receive and so forth. And they see him as not having a past is the reason why. And they forget that they have no past through the blood of Jesus. It's all gone. It's easy to believe God loves other people. But believing that God loves you means there's no condemnation for you receiving anything from God yourself. But that doesn't mean there's not a balance to that, to our prayer life, is that our prayer life shouldn't just be all about ourselves, should be about other people, should be about the work of God, should be about the things that the Bible tells us to pray about. And so when it comes to other people so often, there is a conflict or a great contest going on so many times in the spirit realm over the souls of men or over their lives. And even for believers, especially for believers to grow up, that remember, and we quoted to you Galatians 4:19, Paul was talking there to the church at Galatians, at Galatia, I guess you could say, and he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. Now, that's prayer. He's talking about in prayer, travailing in prayer. There is a prayer of faith where you make your claim of faith, believe you receive, put a period on it, say amen, and go your way saying thank God it's done and praising God from then on. That's the different kind of prayer. But the Bible said there's diversities of different kinds of prayer. And this kind of prayer is, or let me back up, that kind of prayer I just mentioned about believe you receive and then put a period on it, say amen, count it done, and go your way praising God. That's the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith is primarily for us individually. In other words, you individually, me individually. I pray the prayer of faith for myself, you pray the prayer of faith for yourself. That doesn't mean that there's not other things that you should pray in different ways about. But primarily for your needs, the things that redemption has provided. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, amen, the blessings of God that belong to us in redemption, we claim those by faith. But then there's a different kind of prayer, and mostly, a lot of times, this other kind of prayer is going to be for other people. You read in Galatians there, my little children of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. That's praying for somebody else. And Romans 8:26-27 talks about it. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, or also helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Now notice, for he makes intercession for the saints. See, this is praying for saints. Makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we should be praying for saints. I mean, we should be praying for ain'ts too. That's intercession, actually. But we should be praying for saints. It's not just all about us. There's other people that need prayer. So, and in Galatians, he's praying for the saints. He said, my little children. He's talking about spiritual children. Came up, got born again under his ministry. My little children whom I travail in birth. Again. Now, see, he had travailed in birth for them to be born again. That's what he meant when he said again. Of whom I travail in birth again. Again. So he had prayed a travailing kind of prayer. Romans 8 says, with yearnings and longings. Amplified says, learning your yearnings and longings too deep for utterance. There are things that come up out of your spirit that you don't know how to express in your longings and desire for people. And it's not you that works it up. It's actually given by the Spirit in prayer. And because we don't have the kind of love in and of ourselves, in our humanity, apart from the Spirit of God in us. We don't have the kind of love that makes us spend hours travailing in prayer for somebody. Because their life has gone off into hell or destruction. We don't have that kind of love. But see, God will inspire things in us like that. And that love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will start stirring us towards somebody. And we can't, we just, the longing comes up inside of us. And we just cannot let them go to hell. If they're not Christians, or we just can't let them go off into deception, or, you know, remain a spiritual baby being kicked from pillar to post if they're a Christian. You understand what I'm talking about? Somebody told me just yesterday about somebody here that they started praying for a Christian, that for since the first Richard Roberts meeting, a year and whatever that was ago, maybe just about over a year now. They started praying for him back then. And they had come back to church a few times, but never quite, you know, with the seriousness and the awareness that, okay, this is it. I'm making the change. Except now, through their prayer, that some things have begun to change, and now they're ready. Amen. The Spirit of God's been working on them. Hallelujah. Because they've been praying for this person. See, one thing about Paul, whenever you talk, he talks about praying for saints, and really others, but he many times praying for saints, he would say, I continue to do this. Why do you have to continue? Because sometimes they come up to the light, and then they choose another direction. They don't go in the direction of the light. So you prevail, and you persist, and you continue. And keep making power available. Hallelujah. We'll get into some things. And so, like I said, there's a great contest or a great conflict going on in so many people's lives, or over so many people's lives in the spirit realm, and even for believers that they grow up. And that's what Colossians 2 is talking about. I would that you knew what great conflict. He's talking to the saints. Because you read chapter 1, verse 2, to the saints. That's who he's writing to. Chapter 1, verse 2. So he's talking to the saints. He said, I have this great conflict for you and for them at Laodicea, as many as have not seen my face, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now notice this, to the full assurance of understanding. Doesn't that sound like the Ephesians 1 prayer? Give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. They would know the hope of your calling. Anybody got anybody you're praying for along those lines? Stick with it. Stick with it. Just don't quit. Like Paul said there in Ephesians, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you that spirit of wisdom, so forth. So he's talking about that here. And then in chapter number 4, I'm going to come back to chapter 2, but chapter number 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, talking about one of you, a believer there in the church, one of your church members, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that have Laodicea and them of Hierapolis. So this man was also a prayer or a man of prayer. And he said there he labored fervently. Now that's a different kind of prayer. That's the prayer, and you see these the word prayer, especially there in the fourth chapter. It doesn't mention the word prayer there in chapter 2. He said there, he just said, I have a great conflict for you. But we'll see in a minute a translation that brings out the prayer part. But he's talking about prayer, and he's talking about approaching the throne of grace on behalf of others. Can you see that? Let's look at that a little bit further before we... I was going to save that for a few minutes, but if you look in the some other translations, the book of Colossians here, the Amplified says there in verse number 1, chapter 2, verse 1, what great conflict I have for you. The Amplified says, for I want you to know how great is my solicitude for you. Now, if you look up the word solicitude... It means, in other words, it's talking about what a lawyer does before a judge. A lawyer is sometimes called a solicitor. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. And so he's one that appeals on behalf of another. You know, if you have a lawyer, something happened, you were sued or something, you have a lawyer, and you're in court. There's a lawyer there, and he's appealing to the court, or to the bench, or the judge, on behalf of his client. You're his client. And so he's contending with the prosecution. He's not contending with the judge. The judge is on the side of what he said. I mean, he's on the side of the law. He's a lawman. He's just simply looking for what the law says. He doesn't have an opinion. The judge, well, he might, but he shouldn't be exercising it. Amen. I got a few judges I'd like to tell that. I don't care about your opinion. What does the law say? Do you know, Constance, you know it's a deception to say that this nation is a democracy? If you look at the founding documents, it is a constitutional republic. And that means it doesn't matter what the people want to vote for. If it's against the Constitution, the answer is no. I could go places on that, but... Anyway, the solicitor, the lawyer, the one who appeals to the bench on behalf of his client, he's contending not with the judge, he's contending with the prosecution. There's somebody coming with a suit against this person. You're the client, and the judge is on the bench, your lawyer is pleading your case. Isn't that right? And the prosecution's trying to bring suit and trying to strip you of some rights or something. And you're coming to defend your rights. And this judge is sitting listening to both sides. And that's what we do when we go to the throne of grace on behalf of others. We are soliciting, like a lawyer, pleading the case of the law. What is the law? The Word of God. Lord, you said... Am I with you? Are you with me? So the prosecution in this conflict that I'm talking about is Satan. You realize he's trying to put people in the slammer of sin, the bondage of sin. He's trying to put them in the bondage of sickness, the bondage of a blinded mind, a tormented mind. A destroyed marriage, you go on and on, and people that are being beat up and beat around. You understand? They need somebody praying for them. And we ought to be people of prayer for those that God puts on our hearts, especially. Or you can just stir yourself up. You don't have to have God put somebody on your heart. God will honor his word. You know, if a guy goes out here and he plants corn, he doesn't have to have planting corn on his heart to get a harvest. Anyway, that's all free. You can just act on the word. But But especially when it comes to other people, the Holy Ghost will help you with this. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, he won't help you, because I've prayed for some people and the Lord just said, no, I'm not going to, they've already made their decision. I can't change their mind. You can't change their mind. I'm not talking about very often that happens, but that has happened. So we're contending at the bench, not with the judge. We're contending with the prosecution. Some people get the idea that whenever they're praying, they're trying to twist God's arm, get him in the notion of doing something. Oh, he's been in the notion a long time, honey. He's looking through the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. He wants to do so many things. Amen. So this is what Paul was doing for the church at Colossae. He was praying at the throne of grace. Now, remember, we gave you the illustration last Wednesday night, about Jesus praying for Peter. Remember, Peter was going to be tempted. Jesus picked it up in the spirit. He said, Peter, you're going to have to, watch and pray and not enter into temptation. He said, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, oh, no, not me, Jesus. And so, how many of you know if anyway, I won't go there. Just pay attention to people who know the Holy Ghost. So Jesus did this. Paul did this. My question is, how about you and me? Can you and I enter into another dimension of prayer for people and praying for our church and the work of God in Eastern Iowa, his plan here? The move of God, the rain, signs, wonders, and miracles, the harvest, and all that we're told to pray for. Can we enter into another dimension of this? Not only can we, the Spirit of God's wooing us to do so. That's why I'm sharing on these things. God's inviting us, really, he's opened the door for us to talk about these things, because he's inviting us as a congregation to come into a life of prayer. I don't want just a church that's victorious in their own life. I do want that, we're seeing that, a lot of that. But I want people that know how to go to the throne of grace on behalf of others. Yeah. And doing what? Making tremendous power available to them, and we'll get into that, because I got a lot to share here tonight. All right, so did you get that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we want to understand that he's talking about prayer here. Now, with that in mind, let's see here. The conflict Paul was entering into on behalf of the church of Colossae, and that man over there in the fourth chapter was entering into, and Paul in Galatians 4 was entering into, and that conflict was in prayer in the spirit realm. And so what happens is that the Spirit of God will begin on the inside of us to put people on our hearts. Amen. And it's our job to pick up those cues and to begin to enter into prayer for people that the Spirit of God is longing over, because he knows something's getting ready to happen that is not his will, that he doesn't want to happen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And if we'll listen on the inside, there will be these promptings and these cues to prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. There have been many of you here that know, that experienced this, that you've had these promptings to pray. And sometimes, I'm in both categories here. Sometimes we've responded to that more than others. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever had something to come on your heart? And you've responded, and other times you didn't? Absolutely. But if we'll respond to these things, we'll get into a greater move of the Spirit in prayer. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And we'll begin to have, you might say, well, I don't know what to pray for them. Well, if you yield, you will. Yeah. Because when God puts them on your heart, and then you begin to pray just with what you know to pray, just start with the Ephesians prayer or something, the Holy Ghost, while you're praying, something will come up out of your heart. Pray this. And before you know it, you'll be praying things in your mind just 30 seconds ago you never thought to pray for them. And he'll give you more revelation of what it is you're praying. Now, not always. Not always do you always know what you're praying about. But sometimes, in fact, many times, you'll see more and more what it is you're praying about. Amen. And sometimes you'll recognize this as you get more into the Spirit. You know what I mean by in the Spirit? More conscious of what God's saying to your spirit than you do of your natural understanding of what's going on in their life. As you do that more and more, you'll begin to recognize the spiritual forces behind the scenes in operation against them. Amen. That are enforcing certain bondages or certain deceptions. Amen. And empowering or causing them to go a certain direction. Or the situations of their life to go a certain direction. And you'll see, as you pray, you'll see it's because they don't understand some things. Maybe they just don't understand their authority. And you'll recognize it, and with sometimes weeping and yearnings for them to come into the knowledge of who they are, you'll begin to enter into this travail, this conflict. You understand what I'm talking about? You'll begin to enter into these yearnings and groanings and longings and so forth. That it'll come up out of the inside of you. And while it's happening sometimes, especially when it first starts happening, I know some of these things don't happen too much in church publicly here because there's a place for some of these things. Because not everybody here would understand. But sometimes when this first starts happening in your own prayer life, you'll begin to think, wait a minute, I've gone off the deep end. But no, you've gone deeper. That's what you've done. You've gone deeper as where the Spirit of God can use you more fully. And you'll be more yielded to the Spirit and be more fruitful because now you've gone beyond where you've been. Amen. And you'll have some experiences in God that will indeed sometimes will alarm you. Amen. And you'll deal with some things. You'll be able to see and know. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, deal with those forces, and you'll be able to do so more accurately, because before you got into the Spirit, you had certain thoughts about things, but when you get into the Spirit, you'll see reality. What's really going on, and why it's going on. And you'll be able to deal with it in the Spirit. You'll be able to ask God for some things. I've had many, 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 many experiences along this line. Amen. Now, Ephesians 6:18, go over there. What we're talking about is what it says here in Ephesians 6:18. After he talks about the armor, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer, that means all manner, all kinds of prayer, and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now, there's praying just out of your mind because you know the Word. But there's praying in the Spirit. What is that? Some translations say led by the Spirit. Some say under the anointing of the Spirit, under the direction of the Spirit, or something of that nature. And so praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching there unto. In other words, there in the Spirit unto prayer. Amen. Now, notice the term watching. Watching. We're going to see this in the Word tonight. That this watching is mentioned quite often in connection with prayer. So when we pray, one of the spiritual exercises that every one of us in the body of Christ, notice he's not writing to ministers here, he's talking to all of us. He's talking to all believers. All of us are to enter into this spiritual practice or this spiritual exercise, every one of us in the body, and learn to do this watching in prayer. Amen. If we're going to be successful, we're going to have to practice this word. What is it? Watching. One of the elements of prayer is watching. Amen. How many of you know, if you look up through, you look through the Bible, you'll come across the term in the Bible, such as watching in the Spirit. We see it right here. We see the term, be sober and watch unto prayer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In fact, if you want to write that down, it's 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Well, if it was at hand back then, what is it now? So we ought to pay more attention to what he's getting ready to say now than they did back then. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So you see prayer and watching mentioned together. Well, while we're on it, let's just read some other ones. We already, we didn't mention, Colossians 4, verse number 2. We were in Colossians 2 and then Colossians 4, but we looked later in Colossians 4. But look at Colossians 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So notice, watch in the same. Watch in prayer is what he's saying. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, Luke 21, 34 through 36. I know I'm going a lot of scriptures tonight, but I've had this in my heart for a long, long, long time. I want to lay a good foundation in the Word. There's a lot more going to be coming from this. So he said here, Luke 21, 34 through 36, take heed therefore to yourselves. Pay attention to yourself. I didn't know I was supposed to pay attention to myself. Well, he's talking about your spiritual condition. Pay attention to your spiritual condition, lest at any time your hearts, see, your heart's your spirit. That's what I said, why I said your spiritual condition. Pay attention to your spiritual condition, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. That means burdened down, weighed down, with surfeiting. That means just living in the flesh, partying, if you look it up. And drunkenness, that's an appetite of the flesh. And the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Underline, that day come upon you unawares. See, just living in the flesh and not paying attention to spiritual things, you won't know spiritual timing of things. And things can come on you unawares. Be all honest with you right here, right now. He's talking about the rapture. He's getting ready to talk about the rapture. There's a lot of folks that's going to happen. They're going to go, what? I'm talking Christians. He said, that day will come upon them unawares. I wasn't ready. Let me get ready. Too late. Stand before God and give an account of your life. Well, I'm not ready yet. Too bad. You should have been. That day come upon you unawares. I remember distinctly as a child hearing about the rapture, and I remember distinctly not being able to find anybody. I'd run into the kitchen. Mama wasn't there. Run outside. Couldn't find anybody. All my brothers are out in the fields. My dad's out in the fields. I couldn't find anybody. I'm like, oh, Jesus, the rapture took place. I wasn't ready. That day, I was not ready. Verse 35, as a snare, underline that, as a snare, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. As a snare. That's talking about an animal that gets snared in a trap. That's an illustration of what he's using there. A snare is something they caught animals with. And he's saying, this is going to happen like an animal gets caught in a snare. That animal has no clue he's getting ready to be caught. Steps his foot right in the middle of it. It got him. Isn't that right? And that's the way spiritual things are to people who don't do the next verse. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Whoop, prayer and watching together again. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Whoa. In other words, there's going to be some people, it's going to come on them unawares. Why? They don't have a prayer life. And they're not paying attention. Watching means paying attention. So, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Or, as some translations say, have what it takes to escape. Have the spiritual wherewithal. I don't know about you, that verse right there is kind of sobering. There's some things people fall into, they don't have what it takes. The devil's going to eat their lunch. Why? Because they're not watching and praying. They're not alert. All right, so those are just some verses. I mean, you could think also of 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. You remember the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, be sober. That's another word for watching. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast in your faith. Amen. And so be alert and aware, and we'll get into that why, as that verse says right there. So all these things, this is all talking about watching. Watching, here's some things about watching that you need to understand. It includes the idea of having a vibrant prayer life, doesn't it? I mean, we see those in connection, that those words, the word watching, being sober and so forth, in connection with having a prayer life. Watch and pray. And that vibrant prayer life means that because of prayer, you are alert spiritually to the movement and cues of the Spirit. You are aware of what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've said some things about our nation and what's coming. I said some things the other day. We got a reprieve. But it's a pretty short one. There's some things coming after the election. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? I've been paying attention to what the Spirit's saying. Well, I don't know what the Spirit's saying. Well, you should. Amen. Maybe not for everybody else, but for your own life especially. You ever had a sense of foreboding? Something's getting ready to happen. Don't just go your way and say that to everybody, I can tell something's getting ready to happen. No, pray. Pray. Be sober. Be vigilant. The devil's got a trap set for you. And if you're prayed up and pay attention to the Holy Ghost, he'll have you sidestep it. Pew, he'll go right around it. And the devil will be waiting for you, and he's waiting for you to come down the path, and well, why is he not coming? And he pops his head up, can't see you, turns around, and you missed it. That's the kind of life that's available to you. Hallelujah. So, it includes the idea of having a vibrant prayer life that's alert to the Spirit's movements and cues. Amen. We read those verses that shows all that. And includes being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, because it says over there in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Spirit. And we could get into that more. But here in Ephesians 6:18, the Weymouth translation says, to be watchful in the Spirit under prayer is to be always, here's the quote from Weymouth, always on the alert to seize opportunities for doing so. Talking about prayer. Always on the alert to seize opportunities for doing so. That's talking about not missing the cues. And we're going to talk more about cues in prayer, this kind of prayer. Because there's different ways these things come. And listen, whenever the cues come, then you can start out in the flesh, so to speak, praying, and the Holy Ghost, he'll kick in with you and help you. And you'll get under an anointing to pray and pray things, like I said earlier, you never even thought to pray. Hallelujah. Because, see, the Holy Spirit knows things our mind doesn't know. And he knows what we need to ask. He knows what they need. He knows what the desire of their heart is, what they need, and why the devil's taking advantage of their lack of ignorance, what they need. And he'll have us pray for them and get them what they need. Hallelujah. Because we do have access to the throne of grace. And that privilege is not just for ourselves, it's for praying for other people. Praise the Lord. Let's pray in all our families, what you say. Pray them in. Pray them in. Pray, bind the blinders over their eyes, and believe God, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. Hallelujah. You got a lot more authority in your family than you do some of these other people. Praise the Lord. So, to keep on moving here, Weymouth says to be watchful in the spirit to prayer means always on the alert, seizing opportunities to do so. Amen. The Woos translation says, praying at every season by means of the Spirit, and maintaining a constant alertness in the same. A constant, notice that, constant alertness. Amplified says, to that end, in other words, to prayer, keep alert and watch. He's talking about always, in other words, here's what your prayer life ought to include. It ought to be just getting in the presence of God, putting up your spiritual antenna to see if there's anything God once prayed about. Amen. Amen. And sometimes whenever I wake up in the morning, I don't even need to put up an antenna. What I need to pray about is standing right here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever woke up and somebody's there? Somebody's standing, not physically, but in the spirit. God's holding somebody right before you, and they're on your heart the moment you wake up. Amen. these things, for those of us that watch, they happen regularly. And if you want to get into that more, which I'm encouraging you, that if we don't, we're going to miss something at Spirit of Faith Family Church. But for those of you that are hungry enough to want to get into this more, say, I'm hungry. Then there's going to be more and more assignments given to us along this line. And more biblical experiences in the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, so there's this spiritual condition that believers can fall into called being asleep or sleeping spiritually. It's found in Ephesians 5. Let's go over there real quickly. I'm going to have to speed up here. Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't mind turning there kind of quickly, I'm going to read it right here real quick. Verse number 14. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from among the dead. The King James says the dead, but it means in the Greek, among the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled continually with the Holy Ghost. Speaking the psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, so forth and so on. So part of being awake is staying full of the Spirit. That's what I was saying earlier. But that's not what I went to this passage for. Notice verse 14. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from among the dead, the Greek says. So he's talking to Christians. Now notice he's talking to Christians, and he said there is a spiritual condition that believers can be in or under called being spiritually asleep. You know, if somebody's asleep, they're not awake. Isn't that right? So it's also found in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, if you want to look up that. But this condition is similar to spiritual death, and many of the same characteristics are exemplified. However, a man who's spiritually asleep, it has been born again. You understand? He has been born again. He has been born again. But his spirit is not aware like it should be. He's not sharp. He's not aware of spiritual things. When you say the Holy Ghost is saying this and this, they go, really? You know what I'm talking about? Their spirits are not alert, or they're not tuned into their spirit correctly. Amen. Now, individuals can be asleep. Whole congregations can be asleep. And there are times through history we've seen where the whole body of Christ was in a spiritual slumber. One of them is called the Dark Ages. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And so that condition is called spiritual slumber or spiritual sleep. And you can find it throughout the Bible in a number of places. And these people are not aware of what's going on and what the Spirit is saying to them. And so these individuals are the opposite of being watchful. Can you see why we shared all that? The Bible tells us to be alert, be watchful. And so this subject of being watchful is actually much bigger than just prayer in the Bible. Being watchful in the Spirit actually carries the idea of being awake and sober spiritually. Now listen to me very carefully. You ready? It actually includes moral alertness through living a holy life. Isn't that what we read it in Luke chapter 21? Remember, it said, you know, don't be, take heed to yourself that your heart be not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, cares of this life. Superfluity means just a party spirit. Some people just live for a party, live for what their flesh wants, live for entertainment, live for recreation. I enjoy, not parties and drunkenness, but I enjoy some recreation. But listen, you got to get a hold of yourself whenever you find yourself wanting to live for it. That's not what we're down here to live for. That's good. That's a good time to say amen. Yeah. And so you might say, well, I want to have fun. Oh, honey, you don't know what fun is. Hallelujah. So it includes the idea of moral alertness through the idea of a holy life. Have you met some people that because of their unclean living, they're not very aware of anything spiritually? I mean, my wife and I have to pinch each other every now and then because we can see when election times come, you know, who's wrong and who's got wrong spirits and who's... I mean, people think I'm crazy, but that's their problem. I look at their life and I don't want what they got, so I'll just keep what I got. And we see that. We see, you know, when the people are getting swayed by the news media in wrong directions and they're all just sort of in a stupor. You know what I'm talking about? They're not aware of things. And we have to pinch ourselves and say, why can't people see this? And then we're aware, oh, yeah, we forgot. They don't live full of the Holy Ghost. They don't live with a prayer life. They don't know what we know because they don't pay attention to the Spirit of God. Amen. So those are the reasons we go to prayer about some of these things. Now, let's keep on going here. We could take a lot of time on all of these things. But it includes, being watchful includes not giving place to the enemy through such unholy living. So I said, being watchful in the Spirit includes more alertness through living a holy life and staying full of the Spirit and not giving place to the enemy through such living. Remember the Bible said, be angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil. And we're not ignorant of his devices. We can live, we can give place to the devil, and we can be ignorant of his devices by living unwatchful. By living unholy or just in the flesh. See, you got to understand the flesh will dull you spiritually. It'll keep you stupid, if I could say that. It'll keep you unawares. And things will catch up with you, and you'll go. You'll not be sure what happened. Well, we know what happened. Amen. Overall, being watchful just means keeping awake spiritually, alert and watchful, cautious and on guard, and sober and circumspect. It includes having the spiritual wherewithal to overcome the strategies and devices of the enemy, being vigilant to what's going on in the spirit realm, whether it means what Satan is setting a trap for us in, or when we're being tempted. How many of you have ever been aware, I'm being tempted right now? That's because you're more watchful. Some people aren't paying attention to the fact they're being tempted and they're falling right into the trap. And before they know it, here they are in a sin. They dear God, how'd I end up here? Well, they weren't watchful. They weren't paying attention to what the devil was doing. He was wearing them down or getting them weak or getting them distracted from the word or church attendance or something like that. And he's working on them. He's working on them. He's working on them. Before they know it, bam, their feet are out from under them. And here they are doing the most perverted things. What happened? Well, they weren't paying attention. Amen. Hallelujah. It pays rich dividends to be watchful. Oh, does it ever pay rich dividends? So it includes the spiritual wherewithal to avoid the strategies and devices of the enemy and being vigilant to what's going on in the spirit realm. Well, not just what the devil's doing in the spirit realm, but how about what God's doing in the spirit realm? What the Holy Ghost is saying in the spirit realm? What's the Holy Ghost saying to you? If I said to you after service, what's God talking to you about? Would you know? I have people ask me that sometimes. I have an uncle back in Pennsylvania. He's walked in a lot more light than others and came into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so forth and so on. And we have good fellowship when I go home. And he said, a lot of times whenever I go home, he'll say, so what's God saying to you? Most of the time my answer is, you don't have that much time. which area do you want to talk about? I mean, you know. And we have good talks. But thank God for the word. You getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
It includes being aware of times and seasons in your life. I'm talking about being watchful. Times and seasons. Isn't that what it's talking about over there whenever he's talking about the rapture, whenever we were talking about that? There's other passages of Scripture about this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 10. I've mentioned that twice now. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 10. He said, don't be drunk as others and don't be asleep as others. That this things of the end times come upon them unawares, like we were talking about in Luke. So praise God. So now listen very carefully. As a result of clean living and watchful, being watchful, having a prayer life and knowing what's going on in the spirit, as a result of all that, it means being on guard against loss and Satan stealing, killing, and destroying. Isn't that what 1 Peter 5 was talking about? When it said, be sober, be vigilant, the adversary of the devil is walking about seeking as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist him. Now, what's the first word, though? Be sober. Be sober. We say, well, faith is what we use to resist him. How about being sober to even know what you need to do and being alert? Amen. Well, here's another thing about being sober, if I could just say it, because I was getting ready to walk out of the house and the Holy Ghost spoke up in my heart. You remember it says, I say, this is Romans 12:3, I say through the grace given unto me, every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Yeah. Part of being sober and watchful in the Spirit, being alert, is knowing when you reach your measure of faith and not going beyond it. Amen. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know how the devil got in, and it was nothing more than just going beyond their measure of faith. Well, how do I know where my measure of faith is? Where do you have joy and peace? Where do you have? But whenever you're just sweating bullets day in, day out, 24/7, you're beyond your measure of faith. How many of you ever bought something and you just rather, you would rather, and you really thought your flesh wanted it, but you get to the place after a while because it's so much of a struggle to own it and pay for it. But after a while, you're like, I don't even want to see the thing. Get rid of it. Sell it. Put it on eBay. Do something. Get it out of my life. You know how that got into your life? Probably because you weren't sober. Now, I'm saying that as if it's you. I've done things like that. But we're stopping those kinds of things because we're paying more attention to where we are. So as a result, it means guarding against loss, stealing, killing, and destroying of the enemy because we're watching. And this includes loss of spiritual things that what we once had in God. Amen. Spiritual things that we once had in God. I don't know if you've ever read it, but in Revelation 2, 4, and 5, he said, watch and be sober. Because that you not abandon your first love. How many of you know we ought to pay attention whenever we don't love him like we used to? Now we love other things. Now we're in it for this or that or something other than just knowing him and having him in our life and the fellowship that we have with him at the throne of grace. I love you, Jesus. But now it's not about that. Now it's about a new car or a bigger house or something like that. Now, don't misunderstand me. He'll give you, as you keep loving him, he'll give you the new car and the bigger house. But you have to guard against seeking that first. Oh, I went ahead and stopped preaching and went to meddling, didn't I? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, they'll be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Remember then the Bible said over there in the book of Revelation, like I said, that you not abandon your first love. Check up on yourself. You still love him like you first did whenever you got saved? Well, so this loss could include the loss of spiritual things that you once had in God. The fellowship you once had. Do you still love to go into his presence like you used to? Is it hard to get out of that whenever you're in there and because you know you got to go to work? Dear God, I got to go to work. I sure am enjoying this time. Come on now. Are you still that way? Or do you just do a little promise out of the promise box and make your 3 points in a confession and run out the door now? Huh? Well, just asking. I'm not accusing anybody. Just asking. Do you still have the same fellowship you once had? Do you still walk in places in the Spirit you once had? Do you still have the same discipline and consecration you once had? Do you still have separation from carnal ambitions and affections that you once had? Are you still guarded in your heart and what you delight in? Remember the Bible said, delight in the Lord? Remember, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Ooh, do you still delight in him? Is your prayer time the most precious time of your day? All these other people are great, but not like Jesus. Oh, dear God. Remember that new married couple. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you still keep the clutter out of your life to avoid being distracted from the things that you really have in your heart? Amen. Being watchful and sober means guarding or includes guarding your heart. That includes what gets into your heart. That includes not loving anything more than God. Or His will. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is he still your first love? Huh? When people are talking about spiritual things, is that you that jumps in? Because that's where you live. Yeah, baby, that's where I live. I mean, you know, hot rods and tractor pulls and things like that, they're all fun, but not like when it comes to spiritual things. Or sports, hello. I'm not preaching against hot rods, sports, tractor pulls, or whatever. See, I grew up in the country. We went to tractor pulls. That was our sports. Yes, sir. It's most fun whenever the engine blows up. You know what I'm talking about? That's the entertainment. I mean, give me another iced tea. Let's watch this again, you know. And I still enjoy it. I have a lot of fun in life. But nothing means anything like Jesus and the things of God. When I was, I had a job back in Tulsa working before we went into full-time ministry. And there was a bunch of, the business owner was a Christian man, Spirit-filled, loved God. I mean, his motto was, hey, if you got to stop work to get somebody saved, get them saved right there in their living room. You know what I'm talking about? Because we went into their homes to clean their air vents. So anyway, just a lot of good group of Christian guys. Most of, all of them there are Spirit-filled Christians. Anyway, so I was a crew leader and had guys working under me. And then during the Christmas party one year, some of them asked my wife, because they, you know, we all went to a restaurant and then all our wives were invited. And some of them asked Pastor Debbie, how do you get him to talk? Talking about me, how do you get him to talk? See, now you're trying to figure out how to get me to shut up talking, but just listen and you'll get a clue. You'll get a clue why I didn't talk back then and why I talk now. And she said, oh, that's easy. Just start talking about spiritual things. And he'll go off and won't let you talk at all. I always get amused whenever people are sitting in a dinner table or something and certain subjects come up, who enters in, and then other subjects come in, who enters in, and then when spiritual things come up, who enters in. Well, uh-huh. So, being sober and watching means a watchful over, guarding over what gets into your heart, what you love, keeping spiritual things first. Hallelujah. Everybody still glad you came to church tonight? So, there's more there that we could get into. But overall, watching means being alert spiritually. Can you see that? Or not living in the flesh, because that dulls us spiritually. Do you know your spirit has appetites just like your flesh has appetites? There's things he wants. Give him what he wants. If he wants fellowship with God, give him that. If he wants prayer, give him that. Amen. Now, we could say much more about just the general subject of watching in the spirit, but let's go back to the subject of watching in prayer. All that is important that I just said. When it comes to watching in prayer, because it helps you to do this watching in prayer, watching over things. But when it comes to watching in prayer, we're talking about, what we're talking about is spending time in God's presence, seeing what the Spirit of God wants or needs someone to pray about. In other words, seeing what promptings He prompts you to pray about. Well, Pastor Jay, I just don't have these promptings. Oh, yes, you do. You're just not paying attention. Either the Holy Ghost is in you, the Spirit of grace and supplication is in you, or He is not. So should we say that He's not in there? No, because He is. So He's in there, and He's in there in all that He wants to do all that He does. Doesn't He? That includes prayer. He wants you to pray. He'll prompt you to pray. Amen. And so that's what it means to watch, is pay attention to what these things are. Somebody said, well, what if I think it might be this that God's saying pray for, and I miss it? Well, you'll learn something then. And what harm was done by praying for somebody? Amen. But I'll guarantee you, you start responding to just the things you think might be God, Hello, this could be, maybe. There's a chance. You start yielding to that, I'll guarantee you, things will start coming up out of your spirit. It'll be amazing. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about seeing what He prompts us to pray about and waiting for direction or the anointing to pray, under the anointing to pray. There are many things God sees in the earth that are getting ready to happen, devices of the enemy that He doesn't want to go certain ways. Amen. And He's on the job informing people of prayer to alert them so that they'll go to the throne of grace and beseech God that it be changed. Amen. Or, if necessary, address the spirit behind it, enforcing it. I'm talking about demon spirits. He's looking through the earth, according to Ezekiel 22, verse 30. He's looking for through the earth to show Himself strong for somebody to pray, because He sees things that are getting ready to happen. Amen. Also, there are people that the Spirit longs to intervene in where they're going. His purpose is that their need be met, or something be turned, or that's getting ready to happen. And when we respond to the Spirit as He moves on us to pray concerning their situation, we begin to make a supply of the Spirit available to them. Amen. Philippians 1:19, James chapter 5, verse 16, makes tremendous power available. Isn't that right? Philippians said, this will turn through my through your prayers and through this will turn to my salvation through your prayer and then the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So they were praying and making a supply of the Spirit there. And that's what this kind of prayer does. Are you still with me?
Yes.
This supply of the Spirit that's made available enables this person to overcome what the enemy is throwing at them. As a result, they won't be able to be knocked out. Especially if they respond. Of course, you can't respond for them. But they'll have the spiritual wherewithal to stand their ground against the forces of darkness. They'll be fully aware of what's going on and do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. Hello. And they'll stay in their place because you brought a supply, but they'll stay in their place in the body of Christ, won't be knocked out of the body when bringing their supply like they should be. They'll continue to bring their supply. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, can I just share, I'm going to finish this up here. The doctrine of being watchful means staying in the Spirit. Holding yourself in the Spirit. Exercising your faith on their behalf. And it involves keeping your attention turned toward what's coming up out of your spirit. You remember the story Brother Hagin told about his Sunday school superintendent that was working up on an oil rig and fell into the machinery. You remember that story? And they thought he died. I mean, when the ambulance got there, they thought he was dead. And then they realized, well, no, he's not quite dead. But if we move him, he'll die. I mean, he's just right on the verge. Remember that? And you remember Brother Hagin laid in and the man's wife actually laid hold of that and said, we're not going to let him die. Remember that? And then finally they decide, well, he's hanging on here, because they knew, you know, they could kind of tell that they were holding on to him. So they said, we'll put him in the ambulance and get him to the hospital, and he might die on the way. You know, these are just doctors talking. And they said, but we're not sure he's going to live through the night. So you remember that Brother Hagin went to the hospital with him, and then he's there in the room, you remember? And he'd begin to die, and Brother Hagin started pleading his case. Lord, I'm not going to let him die. Remember that? And he'd pray for a while, and he'd say, you know, I need him. I think the man gave 30% of his income into the church. I need him. If I need him, you need him. And I'm just not going to let him die. You remember that? And Brother Hagin would plead his case, and he'd get a little better. Then Brother Hagin would fall off to sleep. Remember that? And he'd wake up, and every time he fell off to sleep, he'd start dying again. Remember that? And that happened, what, 3 times? And then finally, the 3rd time, I believe it was, Brother Hagin walked the hall and said, no, I'm not going to let him die. And you remember then the man started coming out of the coma, and the nurses ran in and said, oh, let's take him in an x-ray and find out, because he's coming out. Remember that? And then he came all the way out and was completely healed. and stood up and gave his testimony in church, said, well, I went to heaven. I actually did die. I went to heaven, remember? And he said, Jesus was there, and I met Jesus. And Jesus said, you can't come yet, remember? And he said, oh, Jesus, I don't want to go back. He said, no, you're going to have to go back to the earth. He said, no, I don't want to go back. Oh, you're going to have to go back. Why do I have to go back? He said, because Brother Hagin won't let you come. Remember that? And Jesus pulled back a curtain, and there's Brother Hagin praying, Lord, I'm not going to let him die yet. Do you know the authority you have in prayer at the throne of grace? Something was getting ready to happen in that man's life. Listen, that would have happened. No question about it. Would have happened. That man would have died if it had not been for Brother Hagin going to the throne of grace, praying. Said, Lord, no, he's not old enough to die. He used the word to plead his case. He's not old enough to die. You said you'd give us long life. So forth, and he pled his case. So remember, the man lived. But the point I wanted to make was that Brother Hagin, according to the way he told the story, they're praying in the hospital. When he would begin to fall off to sleep, the man would begin to die every single time. Can you see what was happening there? His prayer was making supply of the Spirit available to that situation, keeping him alive. He's watching over it. He's alert, except when he was falling asleep. And then, according to the way it's stated, when Jesus was praying for Peter, by falling asleep, he began to be given up. The man began to be given up out of the power and keeping of God. Remember that statement in Luke about Jesus praying for Peter? Whew. Is that real to you? How many things around you or in your life that you didn't continue in? So they went the wrong direction. People, relatives, because we didn't stay on our watch. Come on, I'm telling you something we've got to be sober about. I don't want to stand before the Lord and give an account for people I was supposed to pray for and didn't, and just let them go ahead and die. Let them be sifted from the church. Let them go off into hell, whatever the situation. I don't want to give account for that. Somebody said, we're going to give an account? Yeah, we're going to give account for whether we obeyed God, whether we obeyed the Spirit. Well, did you get anything out of the Word tonight? Well. So watching means holding yourself in the Spirit, exercising your faith, and holding your attention there. It means staying engaged and not turning your attention away from what the Holy Ghost is doing until you get the complete victory, until the contest is won, if you want to say it that way. See, these forces are defeated, but sometimes they can take advantage of other people's ignorance. So we're going to have to stand our ground. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. This spiritual watching requires a spiritual discipline. It's not for laziness. You can hold on. See, what we're doing in the Spirit is we're getting a hold of something. But once you get a hold of something in God for somebody, you got to hold it fast. Brother Hagin would get a hold of it, then fall asleep, and he'd start losing it. Would that possibly be true in any of our lives? Anybody got anything that the Lord's talking to you about right now? You don't have to raise your hand, but you had it, but you let go of it. Amen. Amen. It's a spiritual discipline, isn't it? As we persist in these things, laying hold and then holding fast, then we will keep them from being given up out of the power and keeping of God. And when we stand our ground, say stand our ground, and we get good at standing our ground, and we win these things rather than giving them up, then God will be able to give us more assignments in prayer and more things to watch over. Because if I want somebody that's going to do the job, then I can count on them. How many of you know if we haven't done the job, then he's not going to count on us for more important, more strategic things that need to be dealt with in the spirit realm, that need to be prayed about, they need somebody to use their faith for. You see how God uses me concerning this nation, but I didn't start out there. You know where I started out? Watching over my flesh. You can't really expect to be used in some of these things unless you're just, first of all, watching over yourself. I mean, somebody that's watching over everybody else but not watching over themselves, what's wrong with that picture? Yeah, amen. Amen. And guarding my thought life. That was a place that I got a lot of exercise in watching. Guarding my thought life. Paying attention to what I'm thinking. When a thought of offense hits my mind, I recognize it and I say, no, not here. No. No, I see what you're doing. And I watch over my own spiritual condition. As I got good at that, then God enabled me and entrusted me to start watching over more. Watching over more. Hallelujah. I've told people, some of you maybe have heard me say it, that if God said to me right now, because, what we're doing in the ministry, so forth and so on, if he said to me right now, okay, everything you're doing, just pick one, and I'll let you do that for the rest of your life, serving me. What would it be? I'd say, oh, that's easy. Just let me pray it. Pray in this that I'm talking about right now. I love this. I haven't shared probably 20% of my prayer life. Amen. What happens in my prayer life? Things that don't need to be shared. And how many of you remember we were talking about back there where, we're faithful in a few things, he'll give us more. What does faithful mean in prayer life? It means we don't go out and talk about it. A faithful man conceals the matter. And that's how God will give you more and more if you learn to be a good steward of it. And what's being a good steward? Just using it for what it's for. It's for prayer before God. It's not for sharing it with other people. Or sometimes it's to warn us, to guard us. But even that's not to share with other people that aren't involved. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.